Just on the parsha, but parshas Metzora. First and foremost, thank you to Yossi Guberman for sponsoring in loving memory of his grandfather, Chaim ben Yosef, Hyman Dushavni. Okay. Is your what? His yard site is? Let's say Shabbos. Mit Hashem is in Shabbos, Shabbat Aliyah. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of sponsorships going on here. And Tit Chadesh on the glasses. Okay, very nice. So the pasuk tells us that when it comes to the tahara of the Torah, very interesting. And I looked into whether I've spoken about. I said this last week. I looked into whether or not I've spoken on Tazria or Torah for Peshitcha, and I said last week that I hadn't. That's because when I looked up Tazria, it wasn't on there. Yeah. 2 years ago it was Tazria Torah, and I only spoke about Mitzorah, because that's how difficult it was to find something to talk about last week. But I found something, now we're on Mitzorah, and there's nothing else to do, because I already, whatever. But 2 years ago, we focused on this idea from a different angle, and that is when the Mitzorah comes to, the Mitzorah, as we know, Mitzorah was the person, at least colloquially, or conventionally, the idea is that he spoke Lashon Hara. Perhaps that Lashon Hara came from a sense of entitlement, or a sense of superiority. So he's coming, he's saying Lashon Hara, and now he's got to get this thing off of his body. At least last week's parsha, get the thing off the body. Now this week's parsha, afterwards, talk about the house and the clothing. But this week's parsha starts with the tara, the purification process of the Mitzorah from last week's parsha, the person that's got it on his body. So what happens? So first and foremost, the Mitzorah is able, through rehabilitation of some kind or another, is able to get the thing off his body. But then he's got to bring karbanos. In order to finish the job, he's got to cut his hair, he's got to do all these things. So what's interesting about that is, first of all, and I spoke about this a couple years ago also, the pasuk tells us, v'yasa ha-kohen of chutz ma'achana, the kohen goes outside of the camp, v'ra'a kohen b'nein yirpan agat taras v'nat taruah. The taras is gone from the taruah. What's a taruah? The person that has the taras. Wait a second. How could the taras be gone from someone who's a taruah? Right? He's not be a Saru anymore, exactly. You know, it's like, my smart aleck younger self used to say, when people would say, are we there yet? I said, it is impossible to any time ever be there. You can only be here, right? You can never be there. If you were there, then you'd be here. So there doesn't make any sense, right? So what does it mean? He has no, the Saruah doesn't have any Sarah. Of course he doesn't, he wouldn't be a Saruah. So maybe there's something left over, right? Even if the physical part of it is not there, there's something still a remnant that we have to get rid of. Toby is channeling here inner Pshitcha. So the pasuk tells us that part of the process for the Mitzorah to gain this purity again is that they have to take an eighth erez, which is a cedar tree, right? The wood from a cedar tree. Ushni tolas ve'ezov, and a hyssop bush, and other things, like a string of tolas, I think is a silk, like tolas from worm, like silkworm maybe. Ve'ezov and a hyssop tree. So it says Rashi, lefi shanegayim b'ayim agasus haruach, because a person gets saras because of haughtiness, gasut haruach, inflation of their spirit. They think they're better than they are. So therefore, the cedar tree grows nice and tall. That's the gasus haruach. And then after the cedar tree, you bring the lowly hyssop bush. You bring the high down to the low. That's the generic understanding of Rashi. Says the Kutzker Rebbe, just to get us started, kol ha-mitzvos tova lehen kavana. Every mitzvah, it's good to have kavana. Every single mitzvah, it's good to have the proper intention when you do it. There's one mitzvah that you shouldn't have kavana for, and that is humility. Being humble cannot be done intentionally. That has to be done naturally. That's a character trait a person has. You might act humble, but to be humble is natural. I remember I was once meeting with a rabbinic mentor. I was trying to get an internship at his shul, and he said something. He gave me some kind of compliment. I forgot what it was, and I said to you, thank you. I said to him, thank you. I try. And he said, if you would try, it wouldn't be a compliment. Right? Because if our natural self is doing something more worthwhile, so then that's a good thing. But if we're faking it or if we are acting something good, so then is it really good? If we're acting our humility, then are we truly humble? If we're doing something or saying something which can be categorized as humble, but we're doing so purposefully, so then it's not really so humble. Humility has to be something which is brought out naturally from the inside. We need somebody to eat more. But,
if you act a certain way,
sure. Oh, good. So we're not saying that that's not a good way to get to that natural place, but just while you're still getting there, you're not yet there, right? While you're still trying to be humble, you're not yet humble. That's the point, right? So if you're doing it pekavana, that's a good thing if you're trying to become that. But that's not the end goal. The end goal is not to do it purposefully, it's to do it naturally. Ki kavana ba'anivas, because intention and deliberate acting as a humble person, hi atzma geyus. Acting humbly is itself acting haughty. If you're trying to be humble, so then you're really just being haughty. Someone told me about this phrase. I personally don't think it's a real phrase, but I'm not going to pretend like I'm, you know, in the know anymore with this new age language. There's apparently a phrase now called T4. You know the word T4? I don't know if it's a word or an abbreviation of the letters D and 4. It's apparently a passive comment which is meant as a brag, but without actually bragging. You know, it's sort of saying like, I was davening shachris today, and I saw something, something, something. Oh, you're davening shachris. Oh, very good for you. You know, that kind of thing. It's like a T4. I don't know why they call it that. I have literally no idea why they call it that. Can I use it? That's a T4. I think it's a noun. Like, that is a T4. I have no idea. I learned this from one of my younger cousins last night in an online thing. I am pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
The gray in my beard would say otherwise, but I'm trying. you're still working on IDK. Yeah. So the Kutzker Rebbe says that if you're trying, then that's actually haughty. If you're being purposefully humble, so then you're just showing off. That comes from a place of haughtiness. The Avnei Nezer continues. Is Avnei Nezer? Trying to remember. Yes. The Avnei Nezer, the first Sakat Shavar Rebbe, the father of the Shem Yishmuel, and the son-in-law of the Kutzker Rebbe. The Kutzker Rebbe's daughter married the first Sakat Shavar Rebbe. So he says, similarly to Rashi, what's going on? That the person is trying to lower themselves. Well, why are they lowering themselves? Combining what we said before. Why are they lowering themselves? I thought the saras is gone. If you have saras, that means you're still haughty. You're still saying lashon hara. But if the saras is gone, so then why do they have to bring this carbon? What's with the whole cedar wood and hyssop bush? They're already humble. So what are we doing here? Why does he still have to do it if he already was healed? Says the Sakat Shavar, the Avnei Nezer. Im nirpa me'anega, hare bevale asa tshuva. If the tzaras is gone, that means he did tshuva. Hitzcharet alvonosa, vihishpil asasmo, lama biyom taras ashuv yasto asa. Why does he still have to lower himself? Why are we still trying to humble him if he's already, or she is already, finished, the tzaras is gone? Hasper who says that the Nezer blessed you, yesh shnei suge hachna. There are two types of humility. There are two types of lowering, if you will. This reminds me of such a beautiful drasha. I forgot who it's from, but I'm going to say it over afterwards because it's for the Haggadah. So he says there are two types of humility or lowing of oneself. Hachna amitis, the real best way to humble yourself, the best reason for humility. He zu sheba aydei histakluso shel adam v'hisamkuso bagadlos Hashem Yisbarach. You think about the wonder and the bigness of Hashem, sort of the awe-inspiring nature of everything Hashem has done in the world for us, for humanity. And you think to yourself, I'm so small, I'm so insignificant relative to Hashem. That's what you say. So that type of hachna, that kind of lowering yourself, that's the best kind of lowering of yourself. Aval yesh od suv hachna, but there's another type of lowering yourself. Haba la adam al yidei yisurin. That doesn't come from, it doesn't come from literal or authentic introspection or thinking about Hashem, but rather it comes from the fact that you got a patch. You got some kind of yisurin, some kind of bad thing happened to you. So, oy nebuch, I must have done something wrong. I must have done something wrong. Therefore, you humble yourself. You say, you're knocked down a level. Oh, al yidei machlos v'anius, or maybe you become poor, or you get sick, chas v'shalom. Right? You get something happens to you that says to you, oy, woe is to me, I'm not in a good spot. Gamzu, says Avdei Nezer, that also does a good job. It does the trick. Shoveres es gavos v'kashas harpo, it can break out, it can break apart your haughtiness. It really does. But that's not the type of humility that's going to last. Because what happens when you get over your cold? And what happens when your business goes back up? What happens when, you know, the bruise heals? Zmanit, it's only temporary. And when those things are gone, you'll go back to your old ways of haughtiness. Veshuv nasagas ruach, you'll become haughty again. Vamnam, what happens with the Mitzorah? The Mitzorah was at this haughty level. He was speaking Lashon Hara. He felt superior to other people. And he gets this blush on his arm. He says, oy nebuch, woe is me. He decides that, you know, maybe it's time for me to humble myself. Got to move out of the community. I can't even do my business. I can't have my interactions with other people. He has that sense of humility. And then what happens? It's Sarah leaves. What's going to happen? He's going to go right back to becoming haughty again. So therefore, when it comes to the Mitzorah's purification process, it's true he has no more tzaras, but that doesn't mean he's going to stay humble. Says the Avdei Nezer, Amnam HaMitzorah, Aydei Yisurah V'Skiraso, Nichnav Asa Tshuva Ashi Yisrapim Nanega. He has to go out and do tshuva, and then the affliction's gone, Aval Adayim Lohigil Echal Tara Hamitis. But he still hasn't been fully purified, truly purified. Achna Kazos Enem Aspika. It's not enough. Even on the day of his purification, he still has to lower himself, but this time in a real way. So that he can accomplish the original, that first, ultimate, very sincere type of lowering of oneself, as opposed to the circumstantial one. We say, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas, Shmos, I think it is. The Pasuk says, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, El Hashem min ha'avoda. That the Jewish people cried out to Hashem from the work. It's a very interesting phrase, and the Hasidish take on that Pasuk is a little different. I believe it's also from the Chidush Sha'arim, so we can say it tonight. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael, El Hashem. The Jewish people cried out to Hashem min ha'avoda. The word min is an interesting word. I'm pretty sure we've said this before. I'm not sure in this class, though. Min could mean from, or it could mean greater than, or from. It is greater than this, min this. This is greater than. Gadol this, min this. Right? So says the Chidush Sha'arim. I think it's the Chidush Sha'arim. That greater was their crying out to Hashem, directly to Hashem, than their crying out was from the Avodah. When did Hashem start listening to the Jewish people? Hashem listened to the Jewish people when they stopped complaining about the work and they started complaining about not having Hashem in their lives. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael min el Hashem min ha'avoda. When Hashem listened to them, Vatal shavasam min el Hashem min ha'avoda. Right? The davening went up to Hashem from their work, but it means really the one that went up, the davening that went up is the one that went to Hashem greater than the one that they cried because of the work. If they were just crying because of the work, oh, this is so difficult. Oh, yeah, I don't want to, you know, it's such a burden. So that's one kind of davening. And it's a good kind of davening, but it's a temporary kind of reaching out to Hashem. It's not a true yearning for Hashem. What you really want is some comfort. What you really want is a little, you know, an easier time. So that's the level of davening. You know, I had a friend who was not very religious, but when it came to game day, when we had a basketball game that day, I remember this in middle school, he was the first one at Mincha. He had the longest Shmoneh Esrei. So you start to think, like, why is he davening, you know? Is he davening to Hashem or is he davening for himself? So that's the difference. The difference is, are you davening from the Mitzvah? Are you atoning? Are you doing tshuva so that you can get this thing off your arm? Or are you davening? Are you doing tshuva for Hashem? So this is the two types of hachna, the two types of humility that the Avnei Nezer is talking about here. We have to be very careful when we daven, that we're not just davening so that we can have comforts in life. We're not just davening so that we can achieve those luxuries or take away those pains, but rather that we're truly looking for Hashem. It's a very important idea for Pesach. Given the nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we could be saying to Hashem, thank you for not having the Shibud anymore. But we're not just thanking Him for that. That's why there are four cups, right? We have Otevi Tatvi Galti. Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. He saved me from Mitzrayim. He redeemed me from Mitzrayim. Those are all taking me away from the difficult times. But then for Lakachti Lila Am, the fourth cup is perhaps the most important cup. That's the cup where we say to Hashem, thank you for taking us as a nation. We're not only thanking Hashem because we're not slaves anymore. We're thanking Him because L'shana Abba Yerushalayim, we want to still be Ovdei Hashem, regardless of what pain we are in or not in. We still want to be Ovdei Hashem. That's the Lakachti Lila Am. That's the last stage, the more important stage. Later on in the parasha, it talks about the tzaras of a house. You got a big blotch on your house. And the pasuk says that the Kohen sends a message to them and says, get everything out of the house. Get everything out of the house, because if I come to the house and I say, yeah, this is tzaras, so then everything in the house could end up becoming tamei. Now, it's very strange because it's not really true. I mean, it's true, but it's not really that difficult, right? So what's going to happen? It's going to be tamei. Okay, so you take your knives to the mikveh again. Big deal. You're not going to lose them. There's one exception to that, and that is earthenware vessels. That which is made of clay, the only way to purify clay is break it, and you got to glue it back together. And who knows if you can find all the pieces, it shatters. Anyone who's tried to put together something, you know, earthenware vessel back together, especially if it's like holding a liquid, it's not gonna work oftentimes. It'll leak right through it. It's almost impossible to fix. Right. Right, that's true. But Rashi tells us the greatest difficulty that would come of it is when it comes to the earthenware vessels. So says Rashi, Lo chasa haTorah ella al kli cheres. The Torah is really most worried about the kli cheres. What's interesting about the kli cheres is not just that the tumah and tara laws of kli cheres are different from the tumah and tara of metal, but they are also, and this might be connected to it, they are also very worthless. They're very, very cheap. Right? This is why all pottery classes, you're painting pottery. You're not painting metal, because metal is much more ornate, much more difficult to form, whatever. So the pottery is much cheaper. Says Rav Yaakov Arami Alexander, also known as the Beis Yaakov. He says, Remez hu l'tzadik, Sheyachus afilu al gerumim upchusim biyoser. That it's the tzaddik, it's the rabbi's job and everyone's job to be particularly concerned with those who are of the lowest level. The people who are not the ones sitting in front and davening with their kavana. Not necessarily the big businessmen, the people making waves in the community. But even those who are maybe cheaper, who maybe don't put all the effort in, who maybe aren't the big businessmen that are going to support you, right? Even those, Hare HaTorah Chasa Afil HaKlicheres, the Torah is worried even about the earthenware vessels, the least expensive, the least valuable in terms of contribution and in terms of expense. Those are the ones you still have to worry about them too. And in an interesting extension of that, not the Beis Yaakov, but the Beis Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael of Ger, one of the sort of lower in the generations, later on in generations, the pasuk says, Vishav HaKohen, there's a whole process. He looks at the house once, and he goes back and looks at it again. Vishav HaKohen, the pasuk says, the Kohen comes back, and he looks at the house again. Vishav HaKohen V'ro'eh, something like that. And he looks at the house again. Says Rabbi Yisrael Migor, the Beis Yisrael, Rak la'achar shehakohen atzmo yashuv v'shuva. Vishav HaKohen, this is a really heavy drash. V'kocho ligrom tovo l'zeh asher lo habayis. That only after the Kohen does tshuva can he effectuate tshuva in the person whose house it is that has to also do tshuva? Now, that's a little bit of creative license on my part to sort of make it into a more interactive dynamic between the Kohen and the person. But he's saying that the Kohen has a responsibility also. The pasuk says of v'shav ha-Kohen, that the Kohen goes back to the house. But he's darshaning to say, no, v'shav ha-Kohen, that the Kohen also has to do tshuva. He also has to return to Hashem. Before you tell somebody else how do they have to be better, you better do better yourself. It's a very powerful message, very powerful idea we can all take. You know, in the world that we live in, we all sort of sit on our high horse, whether it comes to politics or religion or business. We all think we know exactly what this person is supposed to do. And really, we should, before looking at somebody else, we should look at ourselves in the mirror and say, am I doing what I'm about to tell somebody else to do? The Gemara in Erechin, close to the Gemara, this Gemara is about the Tzaraas, the Gemara in Erechin says that the mitzvah of Tochacha is very difficult. The mitzvah of Tochacha is very difficult, and I believe the Gemara's Lashon is, one of the Amoraim says, I don't know if there's anybody in this world that knows how to do Tochacha anymore. Why? Because whenever somebody comes and says, you know you should do this, the Gemara's Lashon is, the Gemara's language is, you should first, before you tell me what I should do, take the beam from between your eyes. That's what the Gemara's Lashon is. Meaning you've got your own problems. You've got your own problems to worry about. Stop talking to me about what I'm supposed to do. So says the Beis Yisrael, v'shav ha-Kohen, before the Kohen comes to this guy and says, hey, you got Tzaraas on your house, you got to shape up. So the Kohen himself has to shape up too. So even if you're the Kohen, that doesn't mean you are absolved from responsibility. Only once you have done your tshuva can you tell somebody else to do tshuva. A message for all of us, whether it comes to religious ideas, whether we're the Kohen, or whether it comes to just talking to our children, talking to our spouses, talking to our students, whoever it might be, always have to be very careful that we're taking our own messages to heart, because very often we're just projecting our own problems onto somebody else, and really we should be taking care of ourselves first. Okay, thank you again to Yossi Huberman for sponsoring in loving memory of his grandfather, Chaim Ben Yosef, Chaim and Dushavni, Mirat Hashem, his neshama should have an aliyah. She's going to have to go for the challenge. Yeah, Toby.